once more that I sing so often before. I prayed repeatedly for you when I was 12,000 miles away, and I have no doubt whatever you were praying for me before I go any further. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Well, I have to tell you, I left my voice 56,000 feet up in the air and never come back to it. There's no remedy, no medicine for it. It has to come back itself, and it's a little bit clear in front. Nevertheless, I will my best for the mercy of you. Should you not hear me any of that, please raise your hand, and I'll raise my voice. But still, please speak up here, and that's the last time I'm going to mention it. I greatly appreciate your prayers on God, you dear people. And I've often said in public and to the Lord in private, I would be afraid to live if the Lord's people stopped saying for me. I'm not afraid of everything, but I would be afraid to live if all the Lord's people stopped saying for me. And I'm very, very thankful. I've left a lot more behind me in the four countries where I've been praying for me now that never prayed for me before. I have been thinking about New Zealand for about 4 years, but never made my mind up to go. And a man came to me one day and he said, Mr. Knox, I'm going back to New Zealand, I want you to come for me, with me. I said, well, I can't come on notice like that. He said, well, I'll be in Belfast for the next 10 months. That will give you time to make the time, mind up. I said, it will. So we prayed a good deal about it. And at the end of about 10 months, I made up my mind for the door. New Zealand is the same size as a British island, with Ireland cut out, that is, England, Scotland, Wales, and the Roman Empire. The population is only 3.5 million. And there are thousands of miles of mountains and hundreds of thousands of miles lying unpopulated. New Zealand is really a new country. It's largely Protestant, perhaps 80%. And the two destructive factors for the gospel of New Zealand is the prosperity and pleasure. And I'm sorry, it affects the faith of God. So I think we got ready to go, and we started off. We left London the 28th of November, 62, and we got up into the air, 36,000 feet, we got to 11. And we started a travel at 640 miles an hour, we got on there. The plane was very comfortable, the food was splendid, the attendance was great, and the tobacco smoke was abominable. That's a basic item book. It was totally obnoxious both night and day, and you can't just get out of a plane whenever you like that. At least I couldn't, so we had to stay there. I couldn't eat, I couldn't pray. I felt very unhappy. However, we got there all right, and we spent a lot of people waiting with my friends. And we went to the town of Houston, first of all, and New Zealand is divided into two islands, the North Island and the South Island, and it's divided by what's called the Cook Strait, because Cook was the man who sailed up there with a boat and a sea and almost took New Zealand off the original course to Great Britain. Consequently, that's called the Cook Strait. It takes you 11 hours to cross it in a boat. You cross it in a plane in about half an hour. The Sunday in North in New Zealand was very difficult. I was invited to some conferences from North Island over to the South, and I went. And the result was, I was a bit more possibly six conferences and not a preacher there only himself. So you can see it was good. It was very sad and shook me to see such a country and no preacher there. Couldn't know where I was, so I made up my mind I'd go down to the extreme south of the South Island, right on the edge of the Pacific Ocean. I couldn't go any further. I asked for guidance, and the first little assembly I got was a good, live, lovely assembly, lovely, clean little hall, with nine people working there. It was very encouraging to me to see those four brethren out in the open air every Saturday night with a little Bible in their hands, and they couldn't preach any, and they knew that, so did everybody else, but they did the best they could. We are badly behind with open air meetings in Belfast. And the preaching inside and outside in Belfast is not what it used to be. I'm speaking, I feel that for an awful hour and night. I remember well when they had three open air meetings every week in the assembly I'm connected with. Now you have none at all. You could easily get six open air meetings in Sandy Row on Saturday night, and six on the Newton Arms, and six on the Cycle Road. You only get one or two more. Whether we like it or not, whether it wounds our pride or not, we are definitely losing ground in the gospel in the north of Ireland. Then I stood away, couldn't say the word in a week. Remarkable thing for the lot, and didn't want any more than a week. And they didn't want a whole week's maintenance, was very good. From there, I went to another little assembly. The first one was called Brown's, and the second was called Lumsden. There was only seven broken bread there. It was very poor in every sense of the word. I was sorry, really grieved, and I went to it. And night after night, there preached to 10 or 20 people. That probably wounded my pride, seeing that the Lord has always given me good numbers, but it was a grief to see so many real Protestants, just religious people, not one would come for the day. As to go to invite them to come was foolish. I tried that one day, it was very hot. But poor houses did me when I had to take a rest. The sun was mercy indeed. It was that wrong. I may as well tell you plainly, I took my eggs outside in the sun. Can I get one? I was 150 miles below Dunedin. And I wanted to walk my way up to Dunedin. And in between London and Dunedin was 16 assembly. I went to them all. I didn't miss any. And I'm very thankful for that now. Because if you miss something like that, when you get home, then you're sorry you didn't do it. It's the same as going out visiting a lot of houses all afternoon, and you saw one in the distance and you didn't go. When you got home, you were sorry you didn't go. So it was, I went to them all without exception. I won't tell you the names of them, it wouldn't profit you anything, and you wouldn't understand them anyway. They are all come from the old of original, the original owners of New Zealand. I'll have something more to tell you about them later on. On that road, part of it, a main road, we were able to get up 20 texts of God's Word. I said, brethren, it's quite right to have the text inside, but there's nobody coming in to read them. What about someone on outside? Some of them said, that's good. Some of them said, nothing. Some of them didn't want it. Well, I had to put plain, I can do that in all time, as most of them. And I said then, I'm going to say now, and I'm going to say the again at Easter, if I get an opportunity, do an assembly that has not got any gospel outside the hall. It's not discharging its responsibility to the public. I said, you have nothing better than outside your hall, to keep a man out of hell, not to show him the road to heaven. We got another trophy. We're very thankful to God for that, and our brethren gave us good help, of course, regarding getting a person and a letter of God. I couldn't have done it without the help of my brethren. Some of them gave me really good help, and some of them didn't give me anything. When was a little assembly, I grew up on the mountain. When I was one thing being on the top of a mountain dwelling, but it's another thing being in a range of mountains. And that's where I landed one night in the dark. And when I woke in the morning, I said, Lord, help me, where am I now? And I think if the plane would come along, I think it would have got in it and come home. But the one didn't come, so it's better. The meetings were good in that little place where it was dreadfully lonely. Glenamaree is the name of the place. However, the little handful of Christians were good. We lay in well and healthful well. It is impossible to do this. Neither are only four companies, New Zealand, Australia, America, Canada, lend themselves to visiting as to do in the North of Ireland, because the houses are so far apart. We would have 20 houses in Belfast where you'd only have one in any of those countries. It's difficult for to visit them. Then again, in some places we're not allowed to visit. If you visit them and go along in a simple way as I was, the police staff will look beside you and ask you what you're doing. You tell them, well, if you get into your car and take this back to Ireland, you don't want to hear. Then another state will say that you can give out that, but they must not ring the bell. Just put them in the letterbox. Well, that's all right. Different states have different rules, and you have to agree with the rules that in each state. I have no trouble with the police, whatever. I found them very, very civil to me, because I was civil to them, as you may expect. We couldn't have a big revival any place. Now, I'm not speaking discouragingly about big revivals, but we hadn't any in any place, nor did we accept them. But we had a little blessing every place we went. And to me, it's very pleasant to sit down and look back over all the places you've been and remember the little bit of blessing that God gave you. Sometimes for Christians that needed it badly, sometimes for sinners, sometimes for both. And it's really comfort to me to know I did my best and I didn't miss anything. So far as my health is concerned, it's as good as ever it was. But when I landed on Tuesday morning, I had to go to bed for 3 days for what they might call a rest. And the doctor said, yes, I told you before that you think of as difficult as you, you don't know when you're tired. And you work on after you're tired, that's your difficulty. And I never knew how tired I am until I begin to rest. Probably you'll be saying maybe that will not be good. But then of course that learned in a breakdown or a break off. So I'm very, very thankful to God. After covering about 70,000 miles about, I'm physically fit and I'm very, very thankful to God for that. The biggest trouble in New Zealand is, it applies to all these countries, but I'm only talking about New Zealand just now, is with a dreadful division amongst the faith and amongst the country. That's most grievous. The assemblies that are on the line that we are in the north of Ireland, and I want to tell you, we're on right lines in the north of Ireland, and that challenges contradiction. And I never compromise, no matter what country I go to. I'm sorry, I can't say that about all matters. I'm not going to criticize them. But I never compromise regarding going to the gospel hall. If they're on the same lines there as I am here, I'll go to them. If they're not, then I don't. And I will tell them, fine, as I have to do. You cannot be vulgar or ignorant with people that don't agree with you in certain things. For instance, I never went to a hall where I used, and I'm not doing that. Never did, never will. So you try to justify it, it's not honest. But you know perfectly well it's not right. And then, whether there are any inventions, and quite a lot of inventions over there, that we know nothing about here, and never will, I hope, I'm speaking about New Zealand now. North Island and South Island. There's quite a lot of them telling them how banded themselves together under the head of their Christian brethren. For some in the hall know what I'm talking about. And they can have nearly anything. I certainly didn't go to any of those listening. One man asked me, "So, do you see anything wrong with a name?" Well, said I, "Not so much wrong with a name, although it's the name of a branch of the Roman Catholic Chapel. But if that's not the name, it's what you have, what you carry on. No, I won't do that. I'm saying that to all you here. I tell you the best about that when I learned it. I don't believe in sailing on the false coast. People like it, they like it, but they don't like it, they don't like it. But brethren, there can be no compromise in the things of God. We've had more than enough of that in the north of Ireland already, and I'm dead against it. Though I have lost a few friends, I'm prepared to lose a few more. But no compromise, painless compromise, is a cost amongst the people of God and amongst the offended of God's people as well. Most of you know that, and most of you will agree with me, but if none of you agree with it, it wouldn't change my mind. Have you anything you understand that is not in the Bible you have? Then I won't do that. You're going to be wrong, you left the Bible. If it's in the Bible, no matter how cruel you are, or how unspiritual you are, I'll be glad to come and help you. No matter how wealthy you are, or how popular it is, if you've left the scriptures, no, I won't do that. I'm sorry again, that does not apply to all my brethren from the world of life. Right, thank you very much. Then, I got invited to these conferences, and I think about six, and I wasn't just a preacher, not a priest. Now, that was no harm to the brethren, and it was no harm to the assembly. There simply was no preacher far enough. One little assembly said, "Brother Knox, we haven't had a cell of gospel meeting for 20 years. No wonder they are dying out, and they are dying out. I'm speaking about the South Island now, please. Don't confuse the two, or I may be blamed for making a mistake. Lucky you, anyway." And the principal difficulty there is that they're not only different, as we have to do with some of our brethren here, but they're very different. And that should never be amongst God's people. I can differ with any of you brothers, and I can take a good hiding off you, but the letter get warm back. And then I can go home and pray for you and say, "God bless you." Anything else is within your soul and rob your fellowship with God. Well, I'm not criticizing any for that. It's a great pity and very, very sad to see you simply couldn't have fellowship with them and come back to the north of Ireland and say you were faithful to God and His word, as thank God I can do. Well then, the island was about 800 miles long. You think when you look at a map of New Zealand, south of Australia, it's a little place. Well, I told you the title. It's about 800 miles long. Population only 2.5 million. It's a new country, and it will luckily never be populated. Thousands of miles of unpopulated land and ranges of mountains as well. Then I got up to the north. I had to come up to the north of the south. I had to come over on a boat to the North Island, where there are very few families in all the North Island I could reach go to. I think about four. Christ, go to do not go. Other people say go. That's where it turned out now. Other preachers are not my guide and never will be. My guide is a book, but not in a book. I'm not the guide. Let that end. If it's in the book, no matter how poor the little family may be, I'll try and help them as I do. There's a prize at me going to the little nation. When I got over into the North Island, we had to go by boat. And I found there was only four assemblies in all the North Island that I could get to. That was, I couldn't preach in various places. When they invited me, I wrote and told them why. I had a nice, civil, short letter. I said, "No, brother, I thank you for your invitation. I regret I cannot come to help you on account of the condition of your assembly. Not the physical condition, but the condition of having unscriptural things in God's assembly. Brethren, we talk about light and about loose and tight. It's not in the Bible. Such in the Bible is right and wrong. For the man that's right is a man that goes by what's in the Bible. And the man that's wrong goes by what's not in the Bible, no matter who he is or what he is. Well, I know that will go all over the north of Ireland tomorrow. If it doesn't, I hope it will. One man told him he used to be a preacher, he's not now, no harm to the man. So said, you want me to come to our nation for enough for a week for believers. They all want admission for believers. I think only two or three invited me for gospel meeting. I don't know why, I can't explain that, meeting for believers, and the Lord knows they need it ungodly. I said, well, my dear brother, I've been praying about your assembly at present end. But said I, have you got music? I heard you have. He said, no, we have not. Well, you have. He said, yes, we have. I said, where is it now? Well, we don't need it. Oh, but I said, where is it now? Said I, is it in the anteroom? No, he said. And what happened then? He said, well, there were four of us who was dead against us. And we got the overseers together, and we got the organ of the assembly. Pretty wicked about that, but it works all right. We bought it off the assembly, and they said, now, brethren, the organ's our own, and we can do what we left with it, and they did it. They put it out in the backyard. So they said to the assembly, out of order and out of tune, and that's the way they thought. It should not be an assembly governed professionally by the scriptures unto the name of the Lord Jesus. There's no authority for it. That's the end. Some people will tell me, but it's not condemned, but it should condemn. And condemn in every one of the church officials by the fact that it's not mentioned at all, and that's quite enough condemnation for every man who wants to be guided by what's written. There's no condemnation in that man. I'll go over that again in different lines. It's condemned in every one of the church officials by the fact that it's never mentioned, nor hinted at. And that's quite sufficient condemnation for the man or woman, is that one truth for it, that wants to be guided by the scripture. Pretty people don't want it. God saving them will address it. I say that with the Bible in the hand and in the light of the judgment seat itself. I look at it as an impertinent, irreverent attempt to improve on a divine pattern. And the pattern of the church in the New Testament is divine. Did God forget it to tell about it? Would he send us to have it? Would he so kind and not unkind not to tell us? No, he never intended it to have it. Well now, I had a prayer in that meeting and they appreciated it very much. And they turned out well. For a long time, they had meetings before. Why should brethren, and why should assembly allow any friction over a thing like that? And they say, why do you let a little thing like that annoy you? Why do you have a little thing like that in the assembly but cause it annoying? Is it that the way to put it? I went to the other assembly for that matter. I was the first preacher to do that for years, because the assembly, the preachers wouldn't go to both the assembly. There are more preachers in the north than there is in the south. I know. The other assembly was smaller, but a really good meeting there. I only said, I wish there. Seemingly, they don't want any more, and of course, I didn't force my company on. I think I'm safe in saying, in speaking clearly, that every place I went, with the exception of perhaps half a dozen, I was either invited to stay a little longer or come back later on. I couldn't do either of those two things. I knew time would not allow me. That will show you that they really appreciate the right thing and they don't want the wrong thing. I'm speaking now about the South Island and those about six assemblies in the North Island. When my friend came up 100 miles, 100 miles nothing over there, and brought me down from the north of the North Island back to his home service center. We had some meetings there in the representative. I'm very sorry to tell you, there are 4 meetings in the town of Hastings, but only 1 assembly. It's in Liberland. The same thing that applies at Dunedin, it's a city, where there are 4 meetings, only 1 assembly. But you make a difference. I make the difference by those that are guided by a scripture and those that are not. I had 3 short spells in the meeting in Dunedin, and after I left, there were 5 added to the assembly. Why do you think that it is to move there, to have 5 added to the assembly? And they think it's a great thing to have a spell of gospel meeting, for there's nobody to have. And I am very sorry to say, in New Zealand, in Australia, in America, there's lots of gentlemen preachers. I don't think they have to go so far. And there are a number of lazy men who are supposed to be out preaching, and the preaching they do is at conference and on Lord's Day, that's praying at the job. I have no sympathy with that whatever, brother, never have, and have it now. But when it's an old man, and he hasn't physical ability, we'll all be glad to help him if he's on spiritual lines, and if he's not, then we won't. But I'm speaking about young men now. And they go 1,000 miles from one conference to another and pass by possibly 20 little assemblies. But if you go to them, the brethren will hug you. Mama can hold you tight over there. And say, thank God that we pray. So what's wrong with these dear brethren? Not a thing. They're a small assembly, too small for plain creatures to go to, just as great as I can put. The meetings in Hastings the last time I was coming on my way home were good. There was 5 others this Sunday, 1 or 2 from the other Sunday. A young man, and he's right from the middle. I went out, and it's a great fellow for the little Sunday. When I left, there was 11 added to that little Sunday, and at least 3 or 4 Sundays wrote to say, Brother Knox, we didn't know the value of the meetings until they were over. And the top just as well. So that is very encouraging for me. And I tried to say, I have to put a lot out, except you want to watch my service. And we had to leave, and my friend, Mr. Allen, said, we're going to see about a booker. I said, all right. So when we got a booker, and he said, I want to put it for this man from there, from New Zealand, right to their park. The man said, well, that will cost you so much. Please mind that I didn't. Well, in the goodness of God, I got that. And I want to tell you, it saved me an awful amount of trouble. Just the one ticket, right from Hastings in New Zealand, right to Belfast. Well, you have no idea the trouble I saved you, and therefore I can't won't take time to explain to you. He said, Mr. Knox, let me pay for your ticket. I said, no, thank you. You paid for me coming up. And I think that was very good. Please, let me pay for this ticket. And he began to pray. Lord, we got the next morning. And the man reached me up with the ticket. And he said, Mr. Knox, that's your ticket. £273 in the place. And at any amount of money, and he was very liberal, and he stood in the corner and laughed at me counting the left, and I counted it out, the whole lot, and I'd one left, glory to God. Well, I can hold myself with a cup, though I've only one left, I won't have any more traveling expenses, for this took to leave me in their cup. I'll put that out by the time being. I'm not headed for Sydney, that's in New Zealand. Those brethren, I called a week on my way out there. And when I landed, this is where I preached. Are you all listening? My voice is up in the air. It wouldn't come down. So I did the best. And They couldn't hear me. Nevertheless, the turnout well and the numbers got bigger each month. And my voice came back, and look, no medicine, no infection, no inflammation, no anything at all, just my voice isn't there. The meetings were good there, and good going straight. I told them the hall was more like a police barracks than a hall. It was very, very cold. The meeting was good there. There was a good, good meeting there. I stayed there 2 weeks under different circumstances, and I visited 2 little meetings not far away on Cliff and Sidcombe. They were good little meetings. God gave us blessing there. In one case, a reconciliation. In another case, a restoration of a very difficult case that the brethren asked me about. I didn't tell you what it was. It was a really difficult case. The cost of these countries are the most. And was thankful that God were not troubled with it in the North of Ireland. And I hope nothing will be a really cost effect. And there are a whole lot more things we have in the North of Ireland that were not thankful enough for. But when you get a good dose of what I had, you'll appreciate the North of Ireland more than ever you did before. Then I went to a place 500 miles south of Sydney, in a little place, to a place called Carnegie, outside the city of Melbourne, where I met a half a dozen